And now let us hear the word of God, part of the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. This chapter follows immediately after the record of Jesus' baptism at the Jordan River. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where he experienced temptation during 40 days there. Temptation by the devil. And he did not eat anything during those days, so that at the end of that period of days, he was hungry. And the devil had said to him, since you are the Son of God, and I pause again to explain to you that maybe your text would read, if you are the Son of God. The little Greek particle a sometimes is translated if, but the correct rendering is since. There was no doubt in Satan's mind about who Jesus was, and this is why he was so persistent in trying to steer him away. He knew who Jesus, since you are the Son of God. You just say to this stone, become a loaf of bread. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And so he led him next and showed him all of the kingdoms of the inhabited world in one quick pan. The devil said to him, look, I'll give you all of this authority if you'll just bow down and surrender everything to me. Just give me charge of things. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. And so he led him to Jerusalem and caused him to stand on the high pinnacle of the temple, between 140 and 150 feet high. And the devil said to him, since you are the Son of God, why not cast yourself down? For it is written, and you will notice the devil's trick now. He tries to quote scripture as Jesus did, and being Satan, quotes it out of context. He will give his angels charge over you, and they will let you down easy and guard you well so that you will not hurt any of your limbs at all. Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when all of these temptations were finished, the devil left him for a while. This passage is given also, of course, in Matthew, slightly different order, but essentially the same. And I should like briefly this morning to try to point out to you the significance, the meaning of this temptation experience. It was not just a little by-the-by happening for Satan to exercise something of his time one day, or for several days, several weeks with Jesus. There was a specific, well-defined purpose that Satan had in mind. Jesus had just been baptized and been assured of his Messiahship. He was sure now that I am the one whom God wants to bring in to inaugurate the kingdom, to proclaim God's method of redemption to the people. But how do I do it? Now please notice that Jesus was man and God. And the human part of him required instruction just as any human part requires. And so Jesus recognized that he had to do some thinking and praying and studying in order to prepare himself adequately for this tremendous job. And so what should he do better than to go off to himself? And the text says that the Holy Spirit was with him. The Holy Spirit led him into the desert area. And as he was trying to formulate his plan, in the first place, Jesus must have wrestled with this question. What kind of kingdom do I really want to bring in? What precisely is the nature of this kingdom? Well, he doubtless said it's got to be a spiritual kingdom. How then do I do it? How do I win the hearts of people? Do I do it by force, by persuasion, or by doing some fantastic thing? Do I put on a circus and get myself popular and get the people to follow me? Do I come with swords loud flashing and roar of stirring drums and tommy guns? How do I bring this kingdom in? Satan is the one who makes these suggestions to him. Satan is the one who says, first of all, now, since you're the Son of God, I know enough scripture to know that you are bound for the cross. You feel that the cross is important in your ministry. But don't do that. Oh, no. Why shed blood? That's gruesome. Whew, don't do that. You do some perfectly simple thing, but don't shed your blood. Don't get yourself into trouble. This fact is behind every one of Satan's temptations of Jesus, trying to get Jesus to steer away from Calvary's cross, trying to wreck the divine plan of redemption. And so he approaches Jesus first and says, now since you're the Son of God, why not bring in a kingdom, a following, by simply appealing to the physical appetites of people? Feed them bread. Everybody's hungry in Jerusalem. Why, you've got it made if you'll use your divine power and say to this these stones out here, become loaves of bread. You don't have to worry. And notice Jesus' answer. I first of all call your attention to the fact that he did not so much as for a second honor Satan's suggestion enough to entertain it long enough to want to take it to the presbytery. He didn't say, well, now I have to think about this and let the ecclesiastical bigwigs see if this isn't a good idea. Jesus, without batting an eye, appealed to the Scriptures. It is written, there's something infinitely more important for mankind than bread. We don't believe that. The church doesn't believe it today. Feed them. Let them go to you know where, but feed them. And Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy. The moment Satan said, give them bread to eat, fill their stomachs, and you've got it made. Everybody will follow you. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but rather by the message of the Word of God. Would to God we believe this today. And that, of course, foiled him for the time being. But Satan is a persistent fellow. And the next, we see him taking Jesus into the hills of the Judean hills. And he said, isn't that a beautiful sight over there? Look at all that. I'll give you every bit of it. If you'll just worship me and leave the whole business about kingdom, leave it up to me. Surrender your purpose to me. I'll bring you in the kingdom. And you notice what Jesus says. You want me to worship you? To turn over my allegiance and obeisance to you? It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Is Jesus to bring in a kingdom by simply letting things go, letting people do as they please, letting their conscience be their guide, with no word of God to guide them, but only the word of man and the word of a demon at that? Is that the way to cater to the whims of the rank and file of sinful men here, there, and yonder? My friends, I don't mind telling you, this is to a great extent, largely, the explanation for a lot of this world's difficulties this day. We've just too long now forsaken truth and righteousness and have gone after pride and arrogance and self. Precisely the factors that Satan was suggesting to Jesus. But when Satan saw that he was foiled in that, he took Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple where everybody down below could see him, as I say, 150 feet maybe high. He said, now, if you just jump down, says, you remember, you quoted scripture on me, I'll quote a little bit, the Bible says that, that he'll give his angels charge over you, and they'll let you down easy, and you can jump off, and you light easy, and you won't break a foot, you won't break a leg. And when the people see that you can do that spectacular thing, why, you've got it made. You don't have to worry about going to the cross. Everybody will follow you. And Jesus immediately then referred again to the Scriptures. Again, he says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And my friends, we need to watch this, the implications of this Scripture. Too often, we too tempt him as Satan tempted Jesus to do. We do things that are unwise, that are oftentimes stupid, and yet glibly ask and expect God to look after us and take care of us. A lot of people, even in the field of medicine, will simply say, well, I perhaps should go to the doctor, but I believe I know as much as he does, so I'm not going to take any medicine for this. I'll be all right. I see a certain symptom here, but I believe I'll just go along without going to the doctor. And then get in trouble. Actually, a person may well be tempting God. You know the old adage about the man who was a predestinarian, must have been a Presbyterian. He stood in the way of the locomotive and he says, well now, I'm a good predestinarian. If it's predestined that this is my time to go, I'll go, because I'm going to stay on this track. Well, of course, all of us could say that was his time to go. There's no question about it. No questions asked. But you can see that that is tempting God. Simply because God does not ordinarily interfere with nature's laws. And I'm glad that Jesus knew enough about the law of gravity. He knew it before Newton did. The law of gravity. That's Pat, when you jump off a high place, you fall this way, not that way. And he didn't jump. Simply because he knew that he would be crushed to death on the stones below. He could quote that scripture a dozen times and it'd do no good at all. And Jesus knew it. And we dare not adopt attitudes and follow action that amount to really tempting God. Do foolish things and all the while expect God to take care of us. I remember on one occasion when the first time that the president of the college didn't invite me, he had a note in my box to come by to see him. That was not exactly a invitation, it was a command. I went by because it was the first time and I didn't know what that meant. I found out sooner right away. Dr. Randolph was a very, very nice, genteel scholar. He says, now, Mr. Boyd, your grades are such that if they continue on the present scale, it's going to be trouble. And I advise you to leave off the baseball business, as I know that you have to go over to Mount Pleasant, but I advise you just to drop the for a while. I said, well, now, doctor, I believe I can make it. I'll play for the rest of this season. Well, he says, I don't think you'll do it, and said, you better take my advice. Well, I very foolishly, refused to take his advice. But I remember praying in my simple college way that the Lord would help me with my studies, but would get home too late to be able to do anything towards studying. And I simply didn't pass my work. I was tempting God. Prayed diligently that I pass, but insisted on playing left field on the baseball team. I did. I tempted him. And I paid for it too. Yes, sir. And no doubt we do this kind of thing. Jesus was tempted by Satan to do a thing that would kill him and make him miss the cross. Now, my friends, so much for the temptations. Let us give thanks that he every time quoted the scripture to defeat Satan and lived his life a life of compassion and mercy, died his atoning death for you and for me. He didn't have to die. He did not go off a one-way street and found himself locked in. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself, he said, because he loves us. Now, somehow we've got to let this kind of truth motivate our Christian life. And this table this morning is what symbolizes what he did for us. He loved me enough to do for me what this table is a symbol of. And he didn't have to do it at all.